Well, good morning. Nice to be back with you again as we began last week to speak about the names of the Lord. If you weren't here, you can get the whatever you have here, CDs, or go online and get the messages. But a good start in looking at the names of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are saved. That's the Word of God. That's a promise from the Word of God that God has given us over 700 names by which we can know Him. And He wants to imprint that name upon our hearts. He wants to be all that we ever needed Him to be. He has revealed Himself in Scripture over and over again as many of the different names that are in Scripture. Next slide, please. I shared last week that we had over 700 names of the Lord in the Scriptures, 45 Jehovah names, 44 El names, 42 names in Hebrews, 53 names in Isaiah, 50 in the Psalms, and 32 in the Gospel of John, and 25 in Revelation. So there's a lot of names of the Lord in the Scripture. As you leave this morning, on the table out there, we have a display table of some of the books that we have. Two of the books are devotional books on the names of the Lord, both Old Testament and New Testament. But we also have some handouts we'd like you to have. So stop by the table and pick up a handout. The one that I gave out last week was 108 amazing names of God our Savior. Let me just give you a few of those names so that you have your appetite whetted a little bit to understand what God has for you. He is shepherd, shelter, shade, rebuilder, restorer, rewarder, refuge, protector, provider, keeper, hiding place, healer, comforter, encourager, blesser, anointer, satisfier, forgiver, and the names go on and on and on. And God wants to be sure that we know Him in each one of these, that He wants to personally introduce Himself to us, that we would know the Lord as all that He wants to be. I want to turn your attention this morning to Psalm 23. Open your Bibles, please, to Psalm 23. Whatever the translation you have, the one I have in front of me is NIV. Next slide, please. We'll show you that psalm if you don't have scriptures. Jehovah Rohi is the Lord is my shepherd. Can you say that with me? The Lord is my shepherd. The important part of the psalm is the possessiveness by which David declares the Lord is my shepherd. So I want you to say it again, and this time I want you to own Him. The Lord is my shepherd. Do that with more drama. Come on. The Lord is my shepherd. And that's the result that we want of this message, that every one of us know that the Lord is our shepherd, not just the shepherd, not the shepherd of a lot of sheep, but a personal relationship with Him as shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, from Psalm 23. Next slide, please. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a wonderful psalm. It's endearing. It's precious to many of us. Many of you have memorized. How many of you have memorized sometime in your life the 23rd Psalm? Raise your hand real high. And you're willing to come up here and quote it for us, right? No, there's a few blank spots on my hard drive and I can't quite get it. But it's important that you understand that the Lord is your shepherd. And it begins at some point, because when you're born, you are born into this world, and we are part of Adam's race, and we are fallen creatures. We are sinners. That makes us goats. And the Lord wants to change that goatness in us and turn us into sheep that follow the shepherd. And so you need to know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. I want to give you some exposition of the Lord as shepherd in the next slide, that as you take your walk through the Lord as our shepherd, we see that there are many names of the Lord that are reflected in this psalm. And I've given them to you and highlighted them very briefly. You can look them up on your own. I have about 13 here. There's over 16 that I've counted of names of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah Rohi, my shepherd. The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures, Jehovah Jireh, He's my provider. He restores my soul, Jehovah Rophi, my healer. He leads me in paths of righteousness, Jehovah Sidkenu. He is my righteousness. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he is my rock and my strength. And I will fear no evil. You are with me. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is present. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Jehovah Shalom, the peace. And you prepare a table before me in presence of my enemies. Jehovah Nisi, which is the name that we'll look at next week. And you anoint my head with oil. Jehovah Mashiach, which is the word from which we get Messiah. And my cup runs over. Jehovah Makedesh, the Lord is my sanctifier, the one who fills me. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That is Jehovah Barak, the Lord who blesses me. And finally, the Jehovah, shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, Jehovah Olam, which means the everlasting God. It's important to know the Lord for who he is. And we will spend a lifetime getting to know the Lord as our shepherd. And the problem with us, most of us don't know the Lord very well. We spend very little time in the Word of God, but that's the picture book. That's where God shows us pictures of himself, that we can get to know him. So without the Word of God, you will never know him. So I want to encourage you, get into the Word and know the Lord for who he is. I grew up in a family, a large family, and my father's family was a large family, and my father's grandfather's family was a large family. I remember traveling to my grandfather's house, which was a little old farmhouse out in the middle of nowhere. And as we'd come in to visit, all six of us children were there, and my mother would warn us before we'd go in. She says, "You be very, very careful when you're at grandpa's house." And we called him Pippi because we're French, and Pippi was the name for pup-up or grandpa. And so they said, "When you're at Pippi's house, you need to be very, very careful. There's a room there that's got a curtain in front of it. Don't you dare go behind the curtain. There is an old man behind the curtain, and he's very mean, and he'll get angry if you go behind the curtain." That was my great-grandfather. And we were warned, don't ever go behind that curtain because he's mean, and he'll grab you, and he might hurt you. He'll get angry. And so we were terrified of the man behind the curtain. And my mother would tell us horrible stories about this guy. She said, "He has diabetes really bad. He's like 90 years old and his toes fell off. He didn't know what to do with him, so he carried him out to the outhouse and dumped him in the outhouse." I'll tell you, there's a scary guy. I never knew my great-granddad. I don't want to know my great-granddad. I remember one day when my younger brother, Tom, he tells a story that he came into the house and he came near the door and actually peeked in to see my great-granddad. And he said that great-granddad stood up, big guy, came out and grabbed him and picked him up. And of course, great-granddad is trying to be nice, but we'd been told all these stories about him. And so my brother was terrified. He picked him up and he tried to hug him. My brother's going, "Ah! Ah! He's gonna kill me!" Many of us have an attitude toward God that way. We've been told that God is mean and God is cruel, God is ornery, God is fickle, and you can't really please him. You can hardly do anything to get on his good side, and that's just not true. God invites us to know the man behind the curtain as he reveals himself to us in his word. In Exodus 34, Moses wanted to know the Lord, and he said, "I want to see your glory. I want to know you intimately." And God showed him 10 characteristics. He said, "This is who I am. Don't believe anything else about me, but I am all loving, all forgiving, all gracious, all good, all patient, all..." And I have to read them all because there are over 10 of them. And God says, "I'm all of these things all of the time. Don't you dare think that I'm anything else but than what I declare myself to be." Many of us grew up with an attitude that God was scary. And if you think God is scary, you need to come to Jesus Christ. For God revealed himself through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the great shepherd of the sheep, who is the good shepherd, and he is loving and kind toward all who put their trust in him. Two parts of the message this morning. One is, the 23rd Psalm reveals to us that we are sheep, and the second is he reveals to us that he is the shepherd. Next slide, please. We are sheep. That should be obvious by the 23rd Psalm. David was a shepherd. He understood sheep, and he knew all about sheep. How many of you are shepherds here? Not one. Everywhere I go, if I preach this message, there aren't any shepherds. I never grew up with sheep. I don't know anything about sheep. So I've studied sheep. I've read books about sheep, and I've come to an understanding that sheep are pretty helpless. They are also stupid. Sheep don't know which way is up and which way is down, and they often get lost and they put themselves in trouble. And God wants to liken us to sheep. He says, we are like sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. My only contact with sheep was my father-in-law was a shepherd for a while. He had probably 1,000 sheep, and it was a very modern farm, so they didn't give the sheep names. They had numbers, and every ear had a tag on it with a number, so they knew his sheep by number rather than by name. David wants us to know the Lord knows you by name, and he doesn't care for you as a crowd. He cares for you as an individual. He knows you by name. He knows you intimately. The Lord is my shepherd because I am a sheep, and I often do things that are wrong. Have you ever done anything that's wrong? Have you ever done anything that's really stupid? Something you regret? Well, I have. Let me tell you a few of those things and embarrass myself in front of all of you. When I was about 8 or 9 years old, we had a neighborhood boy that was really irritating. I mean, this kid was bad, bad to the bones. He'd come in, he'd steal our baseballs, he'd steal our gloves, he'd walk off with our bicycles. The guy was a kleptomaniac, and he was just a little guy. Well, I had about all I could take of this, and one day Mom and Dad were gone, and I thought, I'm going to get this kid back. And I used to watch Popeye. Popeye is not a good example for kids. Especially when you talk about Bluto and the things that he did. But I watched Popeye, and I saw some things, and I thought, I'm going to do this to this kid. So I went in the kitchen, and I got a nickel. And I got the metal tweezers, and I pinched it, and I put it over the gas stove, and I heated up that nickel as hot as I could get it until it was red. I mean, this thing was fiercely hot. This is a 9-year-old. Remember, this is not the 70-year-old Dick LaFountain. I'm wiser now. And I took that nickel and walked out to the door, and then little Billy came by, and I said, hey, Billy, you want a nickel? Oh, yeah, here. And I tossed it to him. He grabbed it, and being the greedy person he was, exactly what I hoped would happen, he grabbed it and held on to it. And it was amazing to see his eyes change. He went from the eager, greedy boy to his eyes got really wide. It took about 2 seconds, and all of a sudden he goes, "Wah!" And it burned right into his hand. He ran home. Oh, was I in trouble. It blistered. He had to go to the hospital. I got the biggest wailing of my life because of such a silly thing that I did. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. We all do stupid things. We do foolish things. I remember one day my wife and I had decided to go out and deep sea fishing. I'd been out in the water before, and I never got sick. Before we got onto the boat, the waves were rough, and I overheard the captain saying, the waves are rough. I'm not sure we ought to go out here today, but let's go anyway. And my wife and my daughter took these little wristbands that's supposed to keep them from getting seasick. And they have a pressure point, and you push that, and you don't get seasick. Well, I looked at it, and I said, that's ridiculous. That's stupid. That's probably spiritism. I'm not going to do that. That's dumb. And so we got out in the boat, and we do the fishing, and we're out there, and pretty soon I'm putting my line out there and trying to drag in fish, and I'm looking at a little boy over here starts to throw up, and then a young lady over there, she's throwing up, and pretty soon 5 or 6 people are throwing up on the boat. It's starting to get really rough and really ugly out there, and then I feel a little bit hungry, and I thought, those poor suckers get sick to their stomach. I'm just hungry, so I took a Snickers bar, and I ate a Snickers bar. Bad thing to do. I ate the Snickers bar, and I brought it back up and looked at it, because I got sick. And I started upchucking over the side. Oh, I tell you, I got sick, sicker than I've ever been. I can't remember being sicker than that. I was heaving. Marilyn and Angelica are there. They got the wristbands on. They're going, oh, this is so much fun. Oh, and Marilyn pulls up a fish, and she's holding it in front of me and saying, look, I got a kind of fish. All I can remember is looking at this and I want to die. Get the fish away from me. Finally, the captain announces, everybody get inside. It's getting too rough. We're going to have to go to shore. By this time, 2/3 or more of the people on the boat were all heaving. And it was a mess. I mean, it was wall to wall. And I went to the bathroom. Don't go in the bathroom when people are seasick. It's not a nice place to be. So I avoided the bathroom as much as I could, and I held it back as much as I could, and he's speeding towards shore. We're going up and down, up and down, up and down, and I look at Marilyn and say, oh, no, here goes, and I run to the back of the boat. I hit the back rail. The rail breaks, And out I go over the water. Some guy grabs me by the seat of my pants and pulls me back in. And I said, let me go. I want to die. Silly things that we do. I got back to shore, ended up in the hospital because it was so severe. But Marilyn and Angelica did not get seasick. They had that little wristband. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquities of us all. The day that we think we're smart is the day that we're the dumbest of all. We need to know that we are sheep. On my father-in-law's farm, he decided to introduce me to some sheep one day. And he took us out to the barn, and they were lambing. There were lots of lambs. He said, today we're going to take care of the little lambs. And they are so cute, these little cuddly, furry balls. You pick them up, and they look up at you, and they go, meh, meh. And I thought, oh, they're adorable. And he says, but we have to clip their tails. And I said, why? He said, because they get diarrhea, and they get matted, and then they have diseases, and we got to cut their tails off so they don't have that problem anymore. And it's a very cruel thing to do, but they took these pinchers, almost like wire cutters, and they would put that on the little lamb's tail, and then they'd crunch down, and you hear the bone. You go, oh, it's horrible. You're going, and the little thing's looking up at you. I trusted you, and then they dip it in iodine, and the little thing runs off. And I thought, oh my goodness. That lamb is going to hate me. But you know, the little lambs soon forget those little painful things, and they look to their shepherd because they are helpless. Let me tell you a little bit about sheep that I've learned from some books that I have read. Sheep are very skittish, very frightened of almost everything. One of the authors says that if a sheep sees a piece of wood in front of the gate and you're trying to encourage him to go through the gate, he will not go through the gate. It could be just a piece of bark that's sitting in the road, and he'll stop it. He'll look at it, and he'll think, oh, I don't know, I can't. And he can't make up his mind. And so you have to push and you shove, and then he'll go back, and then all the sheep go back with him. He said, finally, after 45 minutes of trying to get a sheep to go over, one of the sheep will jump 6 feet in the air, jump over it, and go out the gate. And he says, immediately when one of them do it, everybody else follows. And all the sheep do that, 6 feet in the air, choo, jump over that little piece of bark. And then he says, at one moment, one of the sheep jumped over the bark, came down, landed on his head. Then all the sheep behind him said, no way. And they refused to go. Sheep are not the kind of animal that will take care of themselves. They need to be cared for. They will not cross water. If the water is ripply, even 3 inches of water terrifies them. And so they have to be guided through the water. One of the authors tells of a group of sheep, of 20,000 sheep, that were caught in a storm, and all they had to do was cross a little rivulet of 3 inches of water to get to safety, and they refused to cross the water. And so the flood came in behind them and wiped them all out. The shepherd said, I sat on the hill and watched 20,000 of my sheep with their feet up in the air floating down the river. And he said, maybe I am blessed that I didn't have any more sheep. And then he said, at the last moment, he heard the baying of sheep, and here comes 20 of his sheep. 20 out of 20,000 that survived that ordeal. Sheep follow the leader. Sheep follow the leader. In one instance, he says there is a recorded incidence of sheep being shipped to another location. And there were thousands of sheep on board this ship. And one of the old rams decided he wanted to get off the ship. So the old ram came up to the edge of the ship and looked at the guardrail and then backed up, and then took a running leap and jumped over into the water. And sure enough, every one of those sheep followed suit, and every one of those sheep jumped overboard, and they lost all of them. Sheep are not intelligent. Sheep do not know how to care for themselves. One of the authors describes a sheep who is cast. A cast sheep is a sheep that eats too much. All we like sheep have gone astray. How many of you have ever overeaten? You've eaten too much. Some of you, you're liars. A sheep will eat too much because the shepherd needs to care for what they're eating and how they're eating and how long they're eating it. They will eat too much, and if they wander away from the crowd, away from the flock, they will get indigestion, and so they will lay down. And being fat and fluffy as they are, they'll lay down, and they'll roll onto their back accidentally, and then their feet are up in the air, and they can't get over. Some of you will identify with that. Their feet are over and they're too round, they can't get up, and so they're floundering back and forth. And as they lay there, the gases within their rumen, within their stomachs, begins to bloat, and pretty soon they're ready to explode. If the shepherd doesn't get there in time, they will die. And so the shepherd has to come, and he has to right the sheep because they can't right themselves. So he will take the sheep and roll it over on its side. Then he'll rub its tummy until it starts to get some circulation back in. And then he'll lift the sheep up and let it stand on its legs, waiting for the circulation to come back. And then he'll hold it for a while, and then he'll walk with the sheep until they can actually walk. It is a great ordeal that the shepherd has to go through to care for the sheep. God wants us to know that we are sheep. We are foolish sheep. We go the wrong way. We run from our shepherd. We're afraid of a lot of things. We get ourselves in trouble. We do things we should not do. And David says, I want you to know all we like sheep have gone astray. All of us are foolish like that foolish sheep that follow the leader and get into trouble. God wants us to know that he's a shepherd. Next slide, please. He is the great shepherd, not just a good shepherd. He's a great shepherd. There are 9 comforting verbs that God gives us in this story of the shepherd. He makes me lie down. He leads me beside still waters. He restores me. He leads me. He stays with me. He comforts me. He prepares a table before me. He anoints me. He fills me. So the Lord is always this to us. He is always the shepherd of love who cares for his sheep. God wants us to know that he is the loving shepherd, that he loves us with an extreme love. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 3 prays for the church, and he prays that we might know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. He said that you might know the depth and the height and the width and the length of his love that is impossible to know completely, but we need to know that the Lord is our shepherd, and he loves us in that great, affectionate way. If you read Romans chapter 8 concerning the love of God, what can separate us from the love of God? God says nothing can separate us from the love of God because our shepherd is great and he will not leave his sheep alone. He loves us and he takes care of us. Next slide, please. 3 things I will point out about the shepherd. Number one, he calls me by name. He calls me by name. You personalize that. The Lord calls you by name. Every one of us, everyone, excluding no one in this room and no one in this world, has ever been exempted from God's call. God is calling to his sheep, and he calls you by name. He calls your name and invites you to come back into the fold and to be one of his sheep. I remember the day of my life when Jesus Christ came into my heart. I was just a little boy, probably about 5 years old. I was stubborn, and I was selfish, just like all sheep are, at 5 years old. And I remember sitting in the kitchen, and we were having crackers and peanut butter and tomato soup. And Mom was telling us about Jesus. And my older brother, who was just a year older than I, said, Mommy, I want to ask Jesus into my heart. I want to be saved. And she says, oh, David, that's so wonderful. Let me take you into the bedroom and we'll lead you to Jesus. So they went into the bedroom. And pretty soon my sister came back in. She's the oldest, you know, old sisters are mean. And she walked around and she started preaching to all of us, telling us that we were going to go to hell and we needed Jesus. And so my younger brother, younger than 5, traipsed into the bedroom too. And then my sister comes back out, and I'm the only one left at the table. And she looks at me and she says, Dickie, don't you want to go to heaven? And I looked right back at her, and I remember so clearly. I looked at her and I said, no, I don't. I was more interested in crackers and peanut butter than I was in going to heaven. And I look back on that and I said, what a foolish child. What a wayward sheep. And then my sister really got ferocious. She started preaching a sermon to me. She preached about Jesus. She preached about heaven, and she preached about hell. And she says, and all of our family's going to go to heaven except you, Dickie, and you're going to go to hell, and you're going to burn forever and ever and ever. And I said, I don't care. And then she turned at me and gave her most ferocious sermon. She looked at me, and she says, I'm going to tell Mom. That's all I needed. So I ran in the bedroom, and everybody's crying. They're on their knees. And I thought, well, that's what you're supposed to do to get saved. You get on your knees and you cry. So I got on my knees, and I'm a pretty good actor. So I cried and went through that whole routine until Mom finished praying with my brother David. And she said, David, did you ask Jesus into your heart? What just happened? And David goes, oh, Mommy, I asked Jesus to come into my heart, and he forgave me all my sins, and he washed me whiter than snow. And now I'm going to heaven. Oh, I'm so happy. And I thought, oh. Well, I didn't know we were supposed to do that. And then my mom turns to me and says, Dickie, did you ask Jesus to come into your heart? And of course, I'm in panic. because I don't want to stay any longer. I got crackers and peanut butter to eat. And so I said, yes, Mommy, I asked Jesus to come into my heart, and he came in and he saved me. And she hugged and kissed us, and then we walked back to the kitchen. It took that moment to convict me of my sin at 5 years old. I walked into the hallway, and suddenly I was deeply convicted. I had lied to my mom, I had lied to God, and I was on my way to hell. And I remember so distinctly, I just stopped for a moment, leaned against the hall, and I don't even think I closed my eyes. I just looked up and I said, Jesus, I'm sorry. I don't want to go to hell. I do want you to come into my life. Would you come into my life and be my Savior, forgive my sins, and take me to heaven when I die? Amen. And then I went back to my crackers and peanut butter. But as I look back on that occasion, that was God calling my name. Sometime in your life, you need to hear the voice of the shepherd calling your name. Because you don't get to heaven by doing good. You don't get to heaven by just acting like a good Christian and going to church. You don't get to heaven by giving offerings. You don't get to heaven through any good works that you do. You get to heaven through one way, and that's through the good shepherd, by inviting him to be your Savior, inviting him to come into your life. If you've never done that, do that this morning. I mean, it took me 5 seconds to lean against a wall and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior. It began a walk with God. He became my shepherd. I became his sheep, and he's been caring for me all of these years. And many of us walk alone. We try to do it by ourselves. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Jesus said, I know my sheep, and I call them by name, and I lead them out. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Second thing I'd point out about the shepherd is that he cradles them in his arms. I remember my father-in-law giving me one of those little baby sheep and held it in my arms. It's so cute when they're held in your arms, and they're so innocent. They look up at you like mommy, daddy, and they go, bah. I want you to take a moment, look to somebody next to you. Do that right now. Look to somebody near you and go, bah. Okay, you're human. You're not really sheep. You don't do that really well. Well, one of the things that we forget as we grow older is we tend to think we can make it on our own. We think we get saved, but then it's up to us to work this thing out and to figure it all out by ourselves. And we forget about the shepherd. The shepherd is not there just to save us, but to carry us in his arms, or cradle us in his arms. He picks us up and he carries us. He carries us in his arms. He loves us. And what does it say in Isaiah 40, verse 11? It says, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers his lambs in his arms, and he carries them close to his heart. I don't care how old you are. Doesn't matter if you're 6 or you're 60, or you're 7 or you're 70, or you're 8 or you're 80, or shall I say 9 or... Do we have any 90-year-olds here? None here? You killed them all off? They're here in spirit. They just don't know what I'm saying. Okay. It doesn't matter how old you ever get. You are still his child. You are still his baby lamb. He still loves you the same way a baby is loved. In many of the services where I preach this, there are children, babies in this sanctuary. It's a shame that we've excommunicated babies from our services, but I understand. Most of you are older. You probably haven't had babies in some time. But I'd love to take a baby in my arms and bring it up front and hold it there and hold the baby up for everybody to see. You know what happens when I do that? Everybody in the room goes, oh, they're so cute. Have you ever seen a baby that people look at and say, oh, it's so ugly? What an awful child. Terrible. And even when the baby messes his pants, what do? We take him in, we clean him up, and I was going to say, we don't complain, but I do. My wife would never complain. She would clean them up and love them the same way. And if the baby spits up all over you, he's eating it, and all of a sudden, bah, what do? Do you throw the baby away and say, you rotten baby, what are you ever going to learn? No, we take the baby in our arms. We cradle them because they need our care. You are never more than a baby lamb to our good shepherd. You are always his little sheep. And if you're 95 years old, he still cradles you in his arms and says, I love you. I loved you when you were 5 years old and 2 years old and 1 year old. And I'll love you when you're 101 years old. Because he's the good shepherd that loves his sheep. He cradles us in his arms. I love the passage in Deuteronomy 33, verse 27. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are his everlasting arms. I want you to take a moment and look at the picture that's on the screen. That father holding the little child. And I want you to put yourself in those arms and realize that you are never more than a baby to him. He loves you just the same. He'll never stop loving you. Next slide, please. And finally, he not only cradles them, he carries us. He carries us in his arms. Exodus chapter 19, verse 4 says to Israel, I carried you on wings of eagles and brought you to myself. You see, God loves to carry his little children. When we can't walk, when we can't make it, when we can't stand up on our own two feet, he is willing to pick us up and carry us. We all remember that wonderful poem that's written about footsteps. If you've never heard it, you ought to read it sometime. But it's a wonderful testimony of what God does for us. A woman had a dream one night, and she said, I dreamed that I was walking along the beach, and while I was walking, there were two sets of footprints. And as I walked along, suddenly there were only one set of footprints. And then she woke up and realized it was a picture of her life, and she was walking with Jesus. He was walking with her, but then he disappeared. And so she turned to the Lord and said, Lord, I'm really upset. You said you'd never leave me nor forsake me, but here in my life, in my most difficult times, I'm walking alone. Your footprints aren't there any longer. And the Lord looked at her with kindness in his heart and his eyes. He said, my child, when you see one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. You see, when you go through the difficult times of life, the Savior, the wonderful shepherd, wants to carry you in his arms. He wants to pick you up. And you have to be willing to let him pick you up. You have to be willing to rest, like David said, he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. You got to let him pick you up and carry you in his arms and love you as a father loves a child. Most of us will never be shepherds. We'll never have to handle sheep. We don't know much about sheep, but we do know much about our pets and our animals. How many of you have dogs or a dog? How many have a cat? Or cat, we won't talk about cats. But I want to close with a message that touched my heart. Some years ago, I was teaching a class, and one of the ladies in the class is she's a caregiver for dogs. She rescues dogs. She loves dogs. And I like dogs, but dogs can be pretty contrary. And my experience has not always been good. I've been bitten by dogs several times. But she shared with me a poem that we're going to share in closing. And she says, you need to consider that God is reflected in a dog. That a dog's love is like the shepherd's love for his sheep. And she gave me this. It was written by Wendy Francisco. If you've ever heard of Don Francisco, he's the ballad singer from the 70s. His wife wrote this, and I think it's a perfect illustration of God's love and his care for us as we see it in today's world, as God is reflected in a dog. As we play this video, listen carefully to the words and rejoice that the Lord loves you.
I look up and I see God. I look down and see my dog. Simple spelling, G-O-D. Same word backwards, D-O-G. They would stay with me all day. I'm the one who walks away. But both of them just wait for me and dance at my return with glee. Both love me no matter. Divine God and canine mutt. I take it hard each time I fail, but God forgives, dog wags his tail. God thought up and made the dog. Dog reflects a part of God. I've seen love from both sides now. It's everywhere. Amen. Bow wow. I look up and I can't match their love for me.
Isn't that a great testimony of God's love for us? If you've known dogs and loved dogs, you'll know what we mean. We are cat people in our family. And cats, I suppose, are a lot like sheep. They do their own thing. But I had one cat named Peaches, who was big and furry, and he acted like a dog. When I'd come home from work, he was waiting at the door for me. When I'd sit down in the chair to relax, he'd sit on my lap and look up at me. And when I'd lay down for a nap in the middle of the day, he'd always jump up the bed and lay on my chest. He wanted to be with me. My little friend Peaches was like a dog. He loved me no matter what. Even when I gave him a bath and he hated it, he loved me no matter what. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones, to him belong. You know the rest of it. When I was first married, Marilyn sang that song with me about Jesus loves me. And she added a verse that I never heard before, and I didn't like it. She said, Jesus loves me when I'm bad, though it makes him very sad. And I stopped. I said, that's not true. He doesn't love me when I'm bad. No, my wife says, yes, he does. He loves you when you're bad, when you're sad, when you're good. He loves you always. You can't do anything to get unloved with the Father. And I had to go through some very hard times in my life to bring me to the place where I began to understand that my Father in heaven is the Good Shepherd. He loves me no matter what. You can't be bad enough that he'll reject you. You can't run far enough away that he doesn't pursue you. You can't be smelly enough that he doesn't clean you up. Our Good Shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. Would you adopt the Lord as your shepherd today? Throughout the years, as we preach and teach on the names of the Lord, for the last probably 30 years, we have challenged our congregation that every year around Christmas time, you ought to be looking for one name of the Lord that you're going to grab and you're going to embrace and you're going to carry that with you the rest of your days. And for that whole year, that coming year, you take that name and you claim it in prayer and you call upon that name and you let the Lord be that for you. I want to challenge you this morning. Have you yet embraced the Lord as your shepherd? And would you let him carry you and cradle you and call you by name? Heavenly Father, take these words, simple though they are, and I thank you for David and his simplicity of saying, the Lord is my shepherd and we are like sheep. And Father, that you would lead us to adopt you as our shepherd, to embrace you as who you are, and know that you love us no matter what. Thank you for your great forgiveness. Thank you for your great love that you've reflected in dogs and cats and other creatures that you have made. We thank you, Lord, that you are faithful to us. Make us to be faithful to you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll say in closing, we have a table out in the narthex, and we do have some handouts after every service that I share that little song, God and Dog. People want to know where I got it and where they could get it. So we have a copy for you out at the table, as well as a list of 108 names of the Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you great peace. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.